Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you are so gracious. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is a source of strength and guidance for our lives. We give you praise today. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to every heart, every person, whether they be here or if they are somewhere else just watching this video. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to them in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to bring a resolution to this situation we're facing in our nation and in our world. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you in all of this. In your name we thank you. Amen. I have titled this message today, the Lord spoke to me, and I guess I titled it, Claim Your Identity. Claim Your Identity. I have a device on my computer that protects against viruses and against hackers that would infiltrate the programs or even infiltrate my life and my identity. I'm very thankful for that device because it gives protection to me. You probably have something like that on any kind of device that you have as well. And I'm thankful for that, but you know what? We have a device, we have a medium that is our protector. Our protection is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a protective covering against the hacks of Satan. Satan wants to deceive us and destroy our true identity. The Holy Spirit is our protection. Satan wants us to conform to the pattern of this world. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, it says, Paul wrote, he said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then I read in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 5, he predestined us. What is his perfect will? Listen. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. His will is that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so I think about, as I think about in the Old Testament, we remember the story of the capture in Judah, the Babylonian captivity, and Daniel and the three Hebrew children, we call them, they were taken captive into Babylon. And I want to look at them for just a minute. And when they were captured, do you realize they were only about 14 years old? About 14 years old as they were captured. Their names were changed in an effort to force them to forget who they were. They were to forget their identity, and it was to cause them to forget the God and the traditions of their homeland and become conformed to the ways and the gods of Babylon. We're living in Babylon today. The world wants us, Satan wants us to forget our identity and to conform to the world system. It's a forced assimilation. It was a forced assimilation for Daniel and for the three others. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those were their Babylonian names. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted Daniel and his friends to conform to the pattern of his world. And their Hebrew names were changed to reflect heathen traditions. It was to make them forget that God really had a call on their lives. And their heathen names that they were given were to honor a false god. We look at Daniel. Daniel means God is my judge. I'm glad, aren't you, that God is my judge. There are people that will try to tell you things and they'll try to judge you, but God is my judge. And that was the meaning of Daniel's name. But then when Nebuchadnezzar got him there, he changed it to Belteshazzar. And that meant protect the life of the king. It was all about the king. And Hananiah. means Yah has been gracious. We hear Yahweh, it means our God is gracious. That was his Hebrew name. And Nebuchadnezzar changed that name to Shadrach. It meant moon god, the god of the moon. You see, but God has given us a name that glorifies him. He's given us an identity that he wants us to bring glory to him. Mishael means who is what God is. Someone who is like God, in the image of God. And Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Meshach. And that means who is like this false god, Aku. Azariah, our third boy. Here, his name means Yah has helped. God has helped. Our God, who is the living God, has helped me. But Nebuchadnezzar changed his name to Abednego, and it meant slave to the god Nebo. Satan wants to make us slaves, and he wants us to believe an identity that we don't have to embrace. The world gives us an identity, and many times they even give, nicknames that are berating. But God says that we are a child of the king. We are his. The Hebrew boys refused to conform to the indoctrination. They didn't conform to the diet and to the religion of Babylon. Oh God, give us that kind of resolve, that kind of dedication to our God and to his word. Nebuchadnezzar ultimately acknowledged Daniel's true name and the God of Israel. In Daniel, the 4th chapter, verse 8, Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel came into my presence. And then he said, he is called Belteshazzar after the name of my God, but the spirit of the holy God is in him. He recognized and he called him Daniel because he recognized that there was a God that was greater than the false gods. I'm telling you, we're serving a God that is greater than the gods of this world. We don't have to bow down to those gods. And years later, the queen of Babylon still referred to Daniel by his Hebrew name, Daniel. In the 5th chapter, verse 12, she spoke of him as Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar. He had made a reputation. He stood for what was righteous. And you know the story of his being threatened to go be put in the lion's den and how he continued to look toward Jerusalem. And he prayed as he always had done. God says, don't let the gods of this world, don't let the threats of Satan intimidate you. Be who I have called you to be. You are called to be a child of God. In Luke, the 15th chapter, a very familiar story about the prodigal son. And I want to read it there, just a few verses, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 24. Jesus told this story. There was a man who had two sons, and you know how it goes. The younger son said to his father, give me my share of my estate. So he divided the property between them. We see that in a lot of young people today. Hey, I want my fair share. I want to go out and live the life. And not long after, the younger son got all he had, set off for a distant country, and he squandered his wealth. He wasted what he had on foolish living. The Bible says riotous living, and on prostitutes, and on filthy living. And then he said he was so hungry that he would have eaten the pods or the husks that the pigs were eating. That's how hungry he was. He came to a place where he was totally broken. Do you know sometimes God lets us come to that place so that we can see that we were wrong and we can repent? And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And he said, I'm starving to death. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to be like a servant. I would rather be a servant and have food. And so he went back and he said, but he made this confession. He said, I'm no longer worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But he says, like one of your hired servants. That's what he said. So he got up and he went. And then while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Do you know that we have a God that is looking when we make mistakes and we think we've got it together? There's a God who's looking and saying, come back, and he sees us afar off, and he runs, and he places a kiss and his arms around us, and he places his kiss upon us. And the son said, this is an important confession. He says, I have sinned. In order for God to really deal and give us his mercy and his love and his forgiveness, we need to say, I have sinned, and I'm not worthy. But the father said, bring the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. You see, the slaves didn't wear shoes. He was like a slave then. He was barefoot. But he says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The best robe put on him meant that the prodigal, the father was telling the prodigal, as well, all the observers, he said, your position is restored. You are my son. And God says that to us. We are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughters. Amen. It was an immediate demonstration of complete approval and love and mercy, as well as protection, the benefits of being a son. And then he put a ring on his hand. What did that mean? That ring was a sign of affection, but not only affection, it was a sign of authority. Because a ring, that ring proved that you had authority to act in behalf of the Father. God has given us his authority to act in his behalf. He says, you are my child. And we don't want to lay aside that identity. We want to be the son, the daughter that God has called us to be. And it's a sign of wealth. It was a sign of dignity. He said, put sandals on his feet. He's no longer a slave. Satan has tried to make us slaves. He wants us to be a slave, but God says, you're free. You're not a slave. And he said, you're not going to be a servant. And you're going to have all the entitlements of a son. You know the story, how that he killed the fatted calf. And he said, let's celebrate. My son that was lost is found. He's back. There are many of us who have gone astray, and we thought we could handle it all on our own. But God says, no, you are still my child. You're my son, but come back, and I will reinstate your identity as my son. And then I look at the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi left her town. She lost everything. She left with a husband and two sons, and she went to Moab, and she lost it all. It was stripped from her. When it seemed that everything had been taken from Naomi, she decided to return to the place of her identity. She went back to Bethlehem. Then we move on down. When she was going back, Ruth made a statement. Her daughter-in-law, her sons had died, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, said, I'm not going to leave you. And she made a statement that is very, very familiar. She said, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. She was a foreigner, but she identified and said, I want a new identity. I want the identity that you have. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die, and I'll be buried there. And Ruth said, nothing can separate us except death. I will cling to you. And so following Naomi's instructions, Ruth, later as she went back to Bethlehem, and you know the story of how she gleaned in Boaz's field, the fields of Boaz. And Naomi's instructions to her were, go and lay at Boaz's feet. You see, Naomi knew a secret. She knew the rule that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. We have one who is our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so she said, you go and lie at his feet. Ruth didn't say, wait a minute, I don't understand. She had told her before, your God will be my God, and I will do what you say. And so Ruth lay at his feet, and then we read in the third chapter, verses 9, 10, and 13, Boaz asked when he discovered her, he said, who are you? She said, I am Ruth, your servant girl. She did not bring herself up to some great position. She said, I am your servant. God, I want to be your servant. And she said, spread your cover over me because you are a relative who is supposed to take care of me. And then Boaz said, the Lord bless you, my daughter. And then we go on and how he went to make that secure. And he made the statement. He said, I will take care of you myself as surely as the Lord lives. Do you know that God wants us to come and say, God, you made a promise to me. You promised that you would cover me with your protection. You promised that you would take care of me. I am your child. I am your girl. I am your boy. I'm your son. And then he says, you've called me to account. I will do exactly as I have promised. God always keeps his promises. In Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verse 3, he said, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God is just waiting to reveal his plan and his purpose and his love to you. God is more faithful to his promises than Boaz was, than Boaz could ever be. And you know that because of that promise and that fulfillment, that Ruth, though being a foreigner, became a predecessor in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so we read in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 10 and 11. The prophecy says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, God says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is absolutely, you can count on it. You can stake your life on it. And in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 3, he says, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. If we listen to what God says and follow his words, he says, you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God wants us to identify with him, to carry, to represent him in everything we do and everywhere we go. And he says here in the 56th chapter, verses 3 through 5. I want you to listen to this. He said, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord, when you've committed yourself to the Lord, as Ruth did, who's bound to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. I'm not worthy. I can't be a part of them. He said, that isn't true. And he said, let no eunuch complain. I had a guy yesterday. I was reading this scripture, and he said, well, I don't know what a eunuch is. That's someone who's been made. He's neither a man nor a woman. Either he's a nothing. He's nobody. He's just a slave. He's been demeaned so that he only becomes a servant, a slave. He has no life of his own. No inheritance, no heritage, no children. And he says, and let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. Because you see, God says, we have a different identity. He said, for this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. You may not have sons and daughters, but he says, I'm going to give you a name and a heritage, an inheritance in me that is even better than that. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. No matter where you've been, there are many people today. Some of us have been where we feel like, what is my life worth? I have been stripped of everything and God could never use me because I have nothing to offer. But God says, I will give you a name and a heritage and an everlasting covenant I will make with you because we have an identity with Jesus Christ and he makes everything new. And he says in Matthew, Jesus himself said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. We all get there, don't we? He said, come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That yoke is what they hooked up to the oxen. But he said, take my yoke, not the yoke of the world, not Satan's yoke of bondage. But he said, take my yoke, because he says, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy. It isn't heavy. It isn't burdensome. There are some people, even in religious circles, who try to put a yoke of bondage on people and say, well, if you do this, then you'll be blessed. And if you keep this, you'll prosper. But they have a bondage. I want you to know that God does not place a yoke of bondage upon us. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. He knew about us. He knew us. We know that in Jeremiah it says that I knew you even in your mother's womb. I had predestined. I had planned ahead for you to have a purpose and a life. And God knows that he had. And he says, I have predestined you to be conformed to the image of my Son. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. We bear his image. That's God's plan. And we don't want to let go of that identity that we have in Jesus Christ. We want always to embrace that and say, I'm a child of the King. I represent the greatest King in all of this world and the world to come. In John, the first chapter, verse 10, Jesus said there, John wrote, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. All we have to do is receive Jesus Christ, and we become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When we believe on his name, amen. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Who is he talking to? Those that he has redeemed, those he has chosen to be conformed to his image. He says, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a people, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. We are a special people. God loves us, and the devil can't carry us and bring us down. If we carry his identity and we are in him, we are his children. I told you how my little granddaughter, she looked at me and she said, Grandma, I'm your girl. Well, God, I'm your girl. God, I'm your boy. God, I'm your child. I am a chosen people. We don't have to be a particular race. It doesn't matter what our background is. We don't have to come from affluency. We don't have to have any special background. It's all based on what he has done for us. We are in him, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful blessing that you have given to us. You have made us your children. You've given us the right to be heirs to your throne, to your kingdom, O God. We give you praise. I pray, Lord, if there is anyone who has felt like I'm a dry person, I have nothing to offer. My life has been destroyed by sin or by foolish choices. I pray today, O God, that you will reach into that life. Reach into us, O God, and change the focus of our lives, O Lord. We desire to be your children, and we will retain and we will claim our identity in you, in Jesus. Amen. Amen. How do you turn this off? Okay. All right. We are going to, is there anyone who needs special prayer today? We want, I don't know whether they've got this worked out or not, but I want to let you know that during this time when we do not have access to come and greet one another and hug and to love one another, that we love you. God loves you. And if there is, you have my number and you are welcome to call at any time that you need prayer. You have the numbers of the elders of the church. If you don't have them, they're in the directory to call. And let's stay connected to one another. We'll pray for one another and love one another. Is there anyone who has anything you would like to say?
I remember my son-in-law, Rob. They're testing him for the COVID because of his immune system the way it is. And he's been having some symptoms.
Okay. There are many people that are, it's not just that those that really have that virus. There's a fear. People, if they have a tickle in their throat or anything, they're fearful. And so we need, and I'm not saying we're to be foolish, because we should be very careful. God was very clear, even under the Old Testament, when he said, you know, be cleansed and don't be around people who are sick. So we want to pray for those people. I know that, my daughter, Carice and her family need prayer. And so let's just pray for Rob. And are there others that just... I know there are others that we need to pray for. There are others that are not here today because they do not feel safe to be here. So we want to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are a security for us. I thank you that your promises are always a yea and amen. You are faithful, Lord, and we give you praise and honor. I lift to you those that are being attacked by physical illness, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it is something else or whether it is fear of it. I pray, Lord, that you will give them your comfort, your peace, and that you'll bring healing to them. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, O God, because you are a God. You are the true God. I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, if I turn that off. Okay.
Can I talk?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy went home to check it on her computer. She said it did go live. I want to do a live feed as in to post this video to keep it.
Well, can you cut off the end of it?
Well, if you prayed over there and not here, they wouldn't have seen you pray, but they might have heard you. Should I upload this in HD? It's already up there, but I guess I should do that. Yeah, it's going to be public. Well, I want to save it. I want to go public, too. So what do I do? Just push share for public? It's already saying there? Okay. So now it's up there for everybody else to see and repeat. See, there you are right there. And let's see how loud you are. I'm sorry, we're trying to learn this all together.
If anybody wants to get this these pledge sheets. Now, the walk-a-thon, we may have to postpone that to a different date, but I want the kids, if you know somebody that wants to sponsor kids, then they need these sponsor sheets.
In a little while, I will go back to my place, and I will put that on all three areas that we have so that people will not miss it.